faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Hey, y'all. Forgive me. Before this podcast starts, there were so many insane things this week, I could barely clear my mind to do this podcast. I sat here for 27 minutes trying to figure out what to cram into it and went, you know what? I'm just going to tell you the most important stuff, and the rest of it you'll have to read yourself. Here's what you really need to know, which is really what this podcast is about. Insane thing number five. The thing you probably haven't heard about this week, unless you heard about it from me, the thing I'm most excited about. And believe it or not, it's not the Iran war. Last week, I told you about the incredible win Trump finally just had in the Circuit Court of Appeals. A liberal judicial dictator had just ruled that no IRS data could be used to go after illegal immigrants criminally. In other words, if a piece of data the IRS possessed that indicated a crime had been committed happened to reference an illegal immigrant, it couldn't be used. The judge outrageously noted that if it referenced an American taxpayer, it could be used. Hello, two-tier system. So the IRS and the Democrats were effectively able to block Trump from using all the data in the IRS to go after illegal immigrants. Think about all the cases you've heard, for instance, 126 illegals using the same Social Security number fraudulently to work. Yeah, well, guess what? They've been using it for years. So they've been paying taxes. So we've got their home address. We've got their employer's address. Yeah, you see. We could go pick them up if we wanted. There's millions of them. Kristi Noem, you'll remember, outgoing head of the Department of Homeland Security, had also cracked the code on the 9 million illegals that Joe Biden had illegally given Social Security numbers to. They just arrived in the mail 3-4 months after they crossed the border. Well, we could take all that data that we have, cross-reference it with the IRS data, and figure out who's illegally working in America. That's why the Democrats panicked and got the injunction. It took Trump's DOJ months to beat it. But boy, did things change over the last week since they have. Because the letters are already hitting and the Washington Post is already panicking. At just 5 restaurants in the D.C. area where the Washington Post is, 131 illegal immigrants were fired after the letters arrived. And I got to tell you, this would terrify me too if I was illegally employing people. Yeah, with the Department of Homeland Security logo across the top. Hey, we've noticed you're employing 16 illegal immigrants. Here are their names. Could you go ahead and forward us their updated documents showing that they can legally work in America? Thanks. We'll be in touch. Panic ensued in the Washington Post newsroom. Again, that's just a small sample of 5 restaurants. The Washington Post tried to figure out how many total letters have gone out since the cross-reference and the win in court. We don't know. I want to pause here for a minute because the number one complaint I hear from people on our side who are down on Trump, well, he's only gotten rid of 3 million. He's not going to make it. He's not going fast enough. And he is like, people don't understand. Trump has been the victim of more injunctions by liberal judges and any judge in his term than any president in the country combined since the founding. Everything he's tried to do legally has gotten him an injunction, and he's then had to fight it all the way to the top. In the process, he's creating an entirely new body of law that allows us to do what the law says, pick them up, ship them out. But back to what this means. There's a reason in anticipation of this that Donald Trump is now offering $2,600 a head to each illegal immigrant who takes the deal and a free plane ticket back home. And if you take it, you can apply to one day get a green card. The line's just as long as it's ever been. It's very many years long without any sanction. So, if we catch you, you're done. You can't ever become an American, and we ship you out. And by the way, if you take the free deal, you can pack your stuff up, sell your car, get rid of your stuff, bring it home. We catch you, well, too bad. You're going to lose all of it. No selling your car, no collecting your debts. You just go home. Again, small sample in D.C., 5 restaurants, 131 gone. I want to make a prediction, folks. Expect the employment numbers to be seriously whacked in the coming months. You're going to show massive job loss. That's just the illegals. who are being pushed out the door by terrified employers. Folks, the last time we seriously enforced our employment immigration laws was under Bill Clinton. The beginning of this entire disaster happened under George Bush, when he basically stopped enforcing immigration law on any kind of large scale. Well, certain employers took advantage of that to try to save money. Their competition had to do the same thing or they'd go out of business. So for the first time since Bill Clinton, these letters are going out again. It is going to have a massive impact. My personal prediction, conservatively, 5 million will self-deport. We won't even have to lay hands on them. And if you're thinking $2,600 a head is expensive, no, it's cheap. 61% of illegal immigrant households are on at least one form of welfare. $2,600 is probably what they cost us a month. 2 months, tops. That's a bargain. So understand how the vise is getting tighter and tighter and tighter. This is a country creating somewhere between 55 and 100,000 jobs a month for the whole country. We do not have the jobs, nor did we ever, for the 16 million. The 12 million Joe Biden let in over the border and the other 4 million that he allowed to overstay their visas and never picked up. That's why you need the fraud. I've told you this so many times. That's why you need to sneak them onto welfare rolls. That's why we found just in red states, 1.3 million fraudulently enrolled in Medicaid. That's why we found just in the red state, 700,000 fraudulently enrolled. And this is for their family, not just them, on food stamps. So that 700,000 probably represents multiple millions of people feeding like parasites off the American people because there's simply not jobs for them. So as Trump takes away employment, takes away welfare, guess what they're going to do? They're going to get on that plane. Democrats, I have no doubt, are panicking. And here's the thing. We're still in court fighting to get the food stamp rolls from the Democrat blue states. Because if you get those and cut them off, well, we just cut off food. Guess what? Your employer of your not very profitable job just fired you. And the vise gets tighter and tighter. Folks, they will self-deport again. My conservative estimate of who leaves by the end of the year is 5 million. It could go as high as 10 if we win the food stamp case. It's just getting harder and tired, harder and harder and harder. My bottom line, give Trump a chance. This was a major win, and he's using this data exactly as he should from the IRS, quickly cross-referencing it with databases like the Social Security database that'll tell us who's an American and who's not, and sending out those terrifying letters to employers. Please spread the word on this to frustrated family and friends. Trump is going as fast as he can. Me, you, we couldn't do any better. But it's going to get faster this year and faster still the next because these judicial victories that we're having. Insane thing number four. Kristi Noem is out as DHS secretary. I had some pushback on this toward Trump, and I agree. She did a really, really good job in hard numbers. I mean, this is a woman who inherited a ICE and Customs and Border Patrol that had been pared down by Joe Biden. Basically, 10,000 ICE agents who had to double up as never before and work in teams because of the car rammings and violent attacks by liberal terrorists. So there's only 5,000 teams. They managed to pick up and deport 700,000 people, most of whom are hardened criminals or have criminal records or were caught in the company of those criminals. That is a fantastic record. She also managed the evacuations of the rest, roughly 2.3 million who took Trump's deal to fly out of the country. That's a logistical nightmare. She pulled it off flawlessly. She did materially a fantastic job. In fact, it makes me a little nervous about whether Mark Wayne Mullen can equal her management. But unfortunately, she gave Trump no choice. Why I list it as one of the most insane things, because this is one of the most insane things I've ever heard in a hearing. A terrible lack of judgment by Noem. For years, Noem has been linked romantically with Corey Lewandowski, which is problematic because he's her campaign manager, or was in the past, and she's still married. Well, these articles have all but proven they had the affair. I mean, they've been very well documented. So if you have half a brain in your head, you don't bring your alleged lover to work with you at the Department of Homeland Security, and you certainly don't make him the enforcement arm. Again, Lewandowski and Noem did an amazing job when you look at the stats. But when Democrats ask you at the hearing this week, are you sleeping with Corey Lewandowski? He's your subordinate. And they ask you three times, and your husband is sitting next to you, and you've refused to simply say, because you're under oath, no, I'm not sleeping with Corey Lewandowski. Ooh, that's a bad look. One of the worst I've ever seen. I felt so bad for her husband, the look on his face.
So, Secretary Noem, at any time during your tenure as Director of Department of Homeland Security, have you had sexual relations with Corey Lewandowski?
Mr. Chairman, I am shocked that we're going down and peddling tabloid garbage in this committee today.
Reclaiming
and
my
ma'am, time. One thing that I would tell you is that he is a special government employee who works for the White House. There are thousands of them in the federal government.
So reclaiming
and
my time,
advisor,
Secretary, it is
has
okay for
no,
you to be
no
offended by the
to be
question.
Making any
it
decisions,
is okay for you to
has
be
no
offended
to
by the
be,
question.
Making
but it
decisions
is also a real
a
question.
Position. So what I would say
and
to you
should be able to
is
answer
that
the
what we do at the Department of Homeland
clearly,
Security every single
and without
day,
any hesitation,
every single day is to protect
if
this
someone
country,
is asking
to make
if
decisions.
You or any federal official is sleeping
have,
with their subordinate. That should
I
be
have,
the easiest. You should be wanting to answer that question.
Ultimately, she never did, with her husband sitting right there. Ooh, not good. But then the kill shot came from Senator John Kennedy, a Republican. And this is probably the moment Noem lost her job. Folks, this is insane because I've never seen a public hearing go this badly for anyone in my 20-year career.
I'm asking you, the president approved ahead of time, you spending $220 million running TV ads across the country in which you are featured prominently.
Yes, sir. We went through the legal processes, did it correctly.
Did the president know you were going to do this?
Yes.
He did?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And one thing, Senator, I think would be helpful to know is how effective that communications has been. That
they were
overwhelmingly
effective in your name recognition. I personally just... I mean, to me, it puts the president in a terribly awkward spot, and it and I just, I'm not saying you're not telling the truth. It's just hard for me to believe, knowing the president as I do. I'm asking you.
They do look like campaign ads. The purpose allegedly is to tell illegal immigrants to go home, but she's running them on Fox News, which I doubt illegal immigrants even watch, and they sure do look like campaign commercials. When asked, Trump said, no, I didn't know about those ads. And that was the end of Noem. And that is a damn shame. He gave her a new job coordinating something that sounds important in South and Central America. I hope she does well at it. Sheesh. Insane thing number three. Insane thing number three. By now, the victim parade of illegal immigrants, mostly women, who've been brutalized is so long, I don't even do those stories anymore. Each more insane than the last. But when you get a story this insane out of Fairfax, Virginia, it deserves to be in the lineup because it illustrates perfectly the way American women will live if Democrats ever get the upper hand through amnesty and create the one-party China-like system that they seek. An illegal immigrant by the name of Abdul Jalloh, 32 years old, 40 priors, including convictions for rape and assault, and an illegal immigrant with a final deportation order, was let out this fall in the sanctuary city of Fairfax, despite ICE lodging a detainer with the jail and trying to pick him up. All Democrats had to do was hand him to ICE. And it turns out there was a damn good reason to do so. The police actually wrote an email begging them not to release him. It read, I wanted to bring Mr. Abdul Jalloh's release this week to your attention. Mr. Jalloh is one of the repeat and violent felony offenders I expressed concern about when we met. He has an extensive criminal history. He stabbed multiple people, sexually assaulted at least one woman, and committed numerous other criminal offenses. Those are convicted, okay? Furthermore, his behavior appears to be escalating and becoming more violent and explosive. I wanted to please get your background on why he is out again so soon and ask if his prior suspended sentence of, I believe, 5 years was pursued by your office. So suspended sentence means, okay, we're going to suspend your sentence, but if you commit another crime, then you do the full 5-year sentence. So they ignored that as well as his immigration detainer. Folks, all they had to do was turn him over to ICE. That's it. Well, he was stabby, all right. He went to a bus stop, saw an attractive 41-year-old woman and stabbed her to death, just like the officer predicted. Now, so far, this story is like so many from Democrat sanctuary cities. It's not particularly unique, sadly. No, it's what's next that's insane. Incredibly, the lunatic fringe Democrat prosecutor of Fairfax decided that this only warrants a second-degree murder charge. Let that sink in. What does that mean? Well, if he makes his bond, he's eligible to bond out. Wait, but surely ICE has lodged another detainer, right? I mean, they're trying to stop it. Yep. No less than the lunatic fringe former CIA agent Governor Abigail Spanberger's office was asked about this. Here's their response. Jalloh would be released to kill more Democrat voters, more women, unless the Fed showed up with a federal warrant. Now, this is part of the big pretend with Democrats right now. If you have Democrat friends, they're very confused by this. They've been told on a loop this lie, that you can't pick up an illegal without a federal warrant. That's bullshit. Excuse my language. It's simply not in the law. You don't need a warrant of any kind. In fact, all you need is an administrative warrant. In other words, one signed by the ICE agency itself. It's called an administrative warrant. But the Democrats like to pretend you need a federal criminal warrant. Sorry, not the case. So when Spanberger's office says you need a federal criminal warrant or we're going to let him loose to kill someone else and hopefully vote Democrat one day, what does she mean by that? She means the feds have to find a separate crime to charge him for and then arrest him on that crime and come to them with a warrant and they'll give them to us, but they won't give them to ICE. Well, that'd be double jeopardy in this particular case, so it's impossible to do. It's also totally made up. It's completely not necessary, but it's the lie they're telling their sheeple now so they can turn people like this back out on the street. Folks, these stories are depressing and they're horrifying, but I want you to understand how your daughters and your granddaughters will live if the Democrats and the Uniparty ever get amnesty and get total control. It'll be a lawless trail of bloodshed. No woman anywhere in America will be safe. I've gone this far, folks. I love reading British and Victorian novels written in the time. They're so much better than history books. And one of the things, before there were police departments, and there weren't in Victorian times, women could not walk around without the protection of a man. We take that for granted as women in our society. We leave the house every morning, put our makeup on, we go to work. Not in Victorian England, really not till the early 1900s could women safely do that. Democrats are trying to recreate that. Take away the guns so that the average woman can't leave her home without being in the company of a man who can fight a lunatic like this for her life. Folks, that's not freedom, but it is what they're recreating. That's why I call them regressive. They're trying to regress back into lawlessness and chaos and a total lack of women's rights. Because folks, how does a woman work if she can't go to work without being attacked by a lunatic, fringe, stabby future Democrat voter? She can't. Insane thing number two. This is my second favorite thing this week, and it's not the Iran war. It's incredibly rare, almost insane, really, to see somebody in politics who wants higher office do an unselfish thing. Something that's so good for the country, but not good for them. And it's insane how good of an idea this was by Ken Paxton. So in Texas, there was the Republican primary this week between Wesley Hunt, AG Ken Paxton, and Crooked John Cornyn, a Bush acolyte who, despite being endorsed by Trump last time, has done nothing but stab him in the back again and again and again. referring to him after January 6th as an insurrectionist, backing the Democrats' investigation and potential jailing for up to 700 years of Trump. He's an absolute sycophant, whore, open borders. Don't even get me started. This guy is horrendous. By the way, his Freedom Index score, this is how he votes, is 45%. He can't even get to 50. Most Democrats are around 35. It's debatable whether Cornyn is even a Republican. He ushered in under the Bush wave. The folks that came in under Bush, understand, they're worse than Democrats. They're open borders zealots. They want to erase the sovereignty of this country and destroy it that way. They will do just about anything to keep the Democrats, i.e. the other members of the Uniparty, in office. So Paxton and Cornyn came in neck and neck in Texas. I think Paxton got 42%, and I think Cornyn was at like 41. Trump immediately comes out and says he's going to endorse one candidate. He expects the other to drop out. Now, you got to understand something. Trump is in an abusive relationship with John Thune, John Cornyn, and the other treacherous members of the Uniparty. He's very much afraid of them. And I get why, because they're so old. They're now in leadership in the Senate. They could technically stall the rest of his agenda and would be just as willing as the Democrats to do so. In fact, they're already doing it. You know, one of the reasons that Pam Bondi has had a hard time doing all the prosecution she needs is because she needs a couple hundred attorneys working at the Department of Justice, but John Thune refuses to confirm them. He's supposedly the leader of the Republicans in the Senate. They're on vacation right now. So what John Thune does, by the way, John Cornyn is never called for the end of this because he's a whore, is he gavels the Senate back in every 3 days or so for 3 minutes to prevent Trump from doing recess appointments. There's literally hundreds of appointments Trump hasn't been able to get through. And he's the only president in U.S. history to have his appointments blocked by his own party. That's how bad this is. Well, folks, and I hate all the background I got to give you here. We desperately need to pass the SAVE Act. And the reason John Cornyn and John Thune and Mitch McConnell's corpse have blocked it for over 300 days is they know it would end the Uniparty, because they know Democrats cannot get elected without mass fraud. You may have heard that the SAVE Act requires all people to prove their citizenship to register. Folks, that alone could save the Republic, because right now we've got 19 states giving driver's licenses out to whoever shows up. 15 of those 19 automatically register you to vote. You have to tell them you don't want to register, which means illegal immigrants are being registered. And folks, that doesn't even count all the ghost voters, fake voters, dead voters, voters who've moved on these voter rolls that Democrats vote for because they're not there to defend themselves. Okay, the Uniparty knows this whole thing, or they wouldn't have blocked the SAVE Act. The thing I've explained to you in the past that's so important about the SAVE Act is not actually the citizenship part. It's the second part that would force all states to turn over their complete internal voter rolls to the DOJ upon request. There's no law that says that right now, which is why Trump is lost in court trying to get these rolls. If he had these rolls, he could do the same thing he did this week inside the IRS with the illegal immigrants' information. In a matter of hours, he could know who were the illegal immigrant voters, who the ghost voters were. In other words, fake people that have been signed up that don't actually live. They've never lived. The dead, all of that fraud. Folks, it would shake America to its core. We have an idea of how big that will be because Doge has already found millions of them. We have another idea of how big that will be because Trump, when he sued all of those states for election fraud, hired an independent consultant who went and pulled the front door voter rolls. In other words, the ones you can get download off of, you know, the internet. That doesn't have the Social Security background info that the internal ones do. But even just guessing, folks, 10,000 ghost voters voted alone in Georgia. In other words, people who don't exist, they're registered to gas stations and fields, post office boxes. They're fake. But you can't definitively prove it without the internal records. That is why Thune and Cornyn and all of them will do just about damn near anything to keep the SAVE Act from passing, because it does two things: forces the turnover of the internal rolls and forces those voters to be removed. In other words, Democrats can't spend years in court claiming that they can't remove voters for this and that. It says they have to go. if we, and the reason they've delayed this for 300 days is because the Democrats will sue and we'll have to waste months on that. And they're trying to get the Democrats back in charge in the midterms. Well, Ken Paxton has every right to be in that race. He is only a point off of John Cornyn. And a lot of people think the Wesley Hunt vote, which is conservative, will go to Paxton. Paxton can win this race, at least the primary. But the theory from all the right got Republican consultants is that James Tallarico, the whack job Democrat, could theoretically beat Paxton because Paxton's got a lot of baggage. He cheated on his wife. Not a good look. And the Bush people framed him and tried to impeach him out of the AG's office with a handful of Republican votes and all Democrat votes. They failed. They're evil. But they were trying to pave the way for Cornyn and hold on to control a part of the Republican Party. So this is all tied together. Well, Ken Paxton did the most selfless thing I've ever seen. I'll read it to you. Here's his tweet. The Save America Act, when I say most selfless thing I've ever seen, I mean in politics, okay? The Save America Act is the most important bill the U.S. Senate could ever pass, and I'm committed to helping President Trump get it done. I would consider dropping out of this race if Senate leadership agrees to lift the filibuster and passes the Save America Act. John Cornyn is a coward who has refused to support abolishing the filibuster to pass this bill. Now, fake news reporters in the establishment are trying to destroy me with misinformation. The truth is clear. No one has been more loyal to Donald Trump than me. Fighting the stolen 2020 election, he did. While Cornyn was calling for Trump to go away and calling him an insurrectionist. Being at Mar-a-Lago when he announced in 24. Yeah, again, Cornyn was AWOL. And standing with him. And he literally did stand with him in New York in the face of lawfare. Folks, when no one else does. Remember in the beginning, there was a small group. Paxton was among them. I would love to have him in the Senate. Oh my gosh, would I love to have him in the Senate. Paxton says, for the good of our country and for the good of passing President Trump's agenda, I am determined to help him get this done. Well, folks, this was also a backhanded slap at Trump, which Trump deserved, because he has a habit of endorsing these uniparty hacks who then spend the next 4 years stabbing him in the back and then 2 years after that pretending they didn't, while he brutalizes people like Chip Roy, which Trump has done totally unfairly for saying things like the country is going broke if we keep printing money at this rate. Well, it's true. The country is going broke. The way that Donald Trump treated Thomas Massie is horrible. All he did was tell the truth about the budget situation. And he's driven Massie so insane. I think Massie has literally gone nuts and now he's acting like a Democrat. So I don't have much sympathy for him. But Chip Roy and the others, Trump has relentlessly hunted the Freedom Caucus, tried to purge it of conservatives. It's been terrible. And the people who he's supported have put knives in his back. So this is Paxton's way of saying you've got to stop knifing conservatives who are trying to help you. You've got to start backing us. You've got to have the same courage that you've shown, the same backbone you've shown in Iran. You've got to have that backbone to take on that 15% of the Republican Party still controlled by the evil Bush cabal. You got to get rid of it. Because, folks, if they stay behind, I mean, they're what enables the Democrats, those votes that they need. We've got to get the SAVE Act passed. It will change everything. So, folks, Attorney General Ken Paxton is laying down his life politically for his fellow man, for the Republic. I will drop out, even though he can win that primary if Trump agrees. And the Senate leadership agrees to lift the filibuster and pass the Save America Act. Damn. I mean, this is the kind of smart stuff that Democrats will do, but not us. Good for Attorney General Ken Paxton. He shouldn't have to do this. He should. Folks, I think Tallarico, yes, I get it. The reason they're so afraid of Tallarico is that Beto O'Rourke came within 2 points of defeating Ted Cruz about 7 years ago. So Paxton has baggage. They're afraid Tallarico might win that Senate seat. So there's so much at play here. But I got to tell you what, Paxton's right here. Trump needs to treat John Cornyn just like he did Chip Roy and Ralph Norman and all of the other Freedom Caucus guys who just advocated for their country not going broke. I'd hate to see Paxton go, but it'd be worth it to get the SAVE Act. That would save the Republic. Finally, insane thing number one, Iran. Before I dive into Iran, I want to give you one stat. It was buried in the internals of the CBS poll. And the polling on the bombing of Iran has been a bloodbath. Somewhere between 54 and 69% of Americans oppose it, depending on which poll you believe. But in the internals of the CBS poll, where 59% of Americans opposed it, there was a very interesting stat. People were asked by length of time the war lasts, what their opinion was. If the war lasted weeks, 76% of Americans support it. That tells you bundles. It's not the bombing of Iran Americans object to. They actually really like it. It's the fear that this will devolve into what every other uniparty war has become, a profit center where we tie the hands of our brave warriors, waste lives, find silly excuses for our troops to stick around, make it so they definitely can't defeat the enemy with ridiculous rules of combat, and then all the right military-industrial contractors get uber rich. From the rat lines, bringing in the food, contractors protecting the food as it comes in, protecting the restock of ammo, contractors medevacing broken bodies, unnecessarily broken because of the rules engagement, out of the country. Billions are made this way. Trump doesn't fight this way. He goes, max technology, no ridiculous rules of engagement, and very small footprint. There's no profit for Washington, and thus no campaign contributions from that. But it works, damn it. Pete Hegseth fought in the ridiculous wars of the Uniparty, the Afghanistans, the Iraqs. He said this week.
The Admiral knows we have clear objectives with maximum authorities on the battlefield. The dumb, politically correct wars of the past were the opposite of what we're doing here. They had vague objectives with restrictive rules of engagement. No more. Our capabilities are overwhelming and gathering still.
One of the ones that made me the most insane, it came down under Bush, was that the enemy could open fire at you, hit you, try to kill you, run out of ammo, and if they put their gun down, you had to let them surrender. Many were churned back on the battlefield to try to kill you again. And that's why Pete Hegseth used the phrase this week, no more wasting lives. I loved that. Some quick stats on why we're in Iran that you won't hear in the mainstream media. Stat number one, three times Iran sent kill teams to assassinate Trump. In fact, Asif Marchant, the guy who led the third assassination team, is presently this week on trial by the Department of Justice in New York. By the way, you know what just came out in that trial? He told the FBI that he's pretty sure that Iran was responsible for the Butler assassination. Let that sink in. I have a feeling he was behind it personally, but whatever. And he said, yeah, that was always our plan. We'd go to a rally where he's wide open. We'd kill him there. We'd send an assassin we recruited. That's Butler, folks. More on that next week. The two other teams have since been tried and sentenced, and a couple of folks managed to escape back to Iran. So look, folks, I've been saying for a long time, you're probably tired of me saying it on this podcast, the leadership of Iran had to die so that Republican candidates of the future could live and not have to campaign from a bunker while they're being hunted on our soil over the Democrats' open borders by Iranian kill teams, all while the Democrats snicker. So that was thing number one. Thing number two, and it drove me nuts. It was not till the end of the week I started hearing other people besides me use this stat, and I don't know why. This is part of the terrible Trump team messaging. 223. That is the number of attacks on our bases and our military installations and our military outposts by Iran or its proxies under just the last 2 years of Joe Biden's regime. 223. They resulted in 186 casualties, namely 130 catastrophic head wounds. So these are people who are never going to be right again. Many of them are going to have to be cared for the rest of their life. They are brain damaged. And three dead troops, all of them from Georgia, and the rest injured in these attacks. Joe Biden did almost nothing about it. When the outcry got so great after the three were killed, Joe Biden finally eventually warned Iran, hey, and its proxies, we're going to bomb this, gave them 2 days to clear out and bombed an empty building and called it the end of the day. So, and worse after that, released billions of dollars more. In other words, he paid a bounty. You kill our troops, they pay a bounty. That's what caused a lot of this. That's why they got so out of control. So we're at the point, I mean, it drove me nuts this week when people, including on our side, were saying preemptive wars, you know, we got to go to war to keep them from, no. Preemptive war is when the enemy has a weapon and you think they might use it. Preemptive war is not when they've used it 223 times already. And you know damn well that they've got long-range missiles now, missiles that can hit our bases in Europe, and they will wipe those bases off the face of the earth. Heck, they used the money Biden gave them, $10 billion, 6 weeks, folks, 6 weeks after October 7th, the massacre in Israel. Joe Biden released money to them, and it was a $10 billion account. They classified how much of it Iran got. They could have gotten all of it. So they had high-tech drones with mounted missiles. They were flying into our bases, and they could defeat our bases' protection system because those were so high tech. Joe Biden paid for them by unfreezing the frozen funds, and the funds were frozen because of sanctions. So, I mean, the Democrats were absolutely going to let Iran hit our bases. They were going to let Iran kill our troops. They were probably going to pay him for it, and it just couldn't go on. We had to kill the Iranian leadership down to the last man. I mean, we got to hunt the last man and then kill his dog. That's the only way to keep the Democrats from being able to rebuild Iran and the mullahs and the dictatorship in, say, a four-year presidential term. It's got to be wiped out. This is a unique war that way, in that 50% of the danger is what the Democrats will do, because they are allies of Iran when they get back in office to rebuild this regime. This regime can't rebuild itself. I'll let Jesse Waters wrap up this podcast with a summary of what this does to China and what this does for us geopolitically. I had no idea it was this easy to put ourselves back in the driver's seat. Probably my favorite article this week is from Reuters. You know, the Chinese weekly have been doing military exercises around Taiwan, demonstrating that they control the waters. Yeah, this is the first week in years that ceased. Because the Chinese Communist Party and the 2,000 families that make it up got a good damn look at what Trump is capable of, namely killing every last one of them. And with what technology? Probably new wonders we've never seen. Since the beginning of the conflict in Venezuela, we've learned we have the discombobulator. Look that one up. And now, directed energy weapons, basically laser beams. They're incredible. Just a year ago, the media was saying their existence was a conspiracy theory until us and Israel used them. Anyway, I'll let Jesse Waters wrap up the week that was. He said it the best, I think.
They all go to these briefings. I had Cruz on last night. He's in the briefing with the Democrats. They're getting briefed by the CIA, the Pentagon, and the State Department. And he says all the Democrats in the briefing room are yelling at the briefers. Mm-hmm. Screaming at them, attacking them. And they're just trying to explain what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then they run out of the briefing room and they say, forever war, no plan, illegal war. It's just a slogan. You know, we are 5 days in and the Democrats and Jessica are like kids in the back of a car ride. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Listen, I don't want it to be a long car ride either, Jessica, but we just pulled out of the driveway, okay?
Oh, I have to pee.
My God.
Turn this car around.
And then to blame the Jews, okay? Trump has been dialed in on Iran since the first term. Yes, it helps the Israelis in the region. It helps us even more globally. China was using this country and Venezuela as a forward operating base, sucking up all the cheap oil and throwing missiles and migrants at us. And if we can take control of this situation, we control the Strait of Hormuz, Strait of Gibraltar, Suez, Malacca Straits, Panama Canal, every single global choke point in the entire world. If China tries anything, we turn it off and they can't bring anything into their country by sea. The Democrats have been briefed on this. And they still run to the cameras and scream about nothing. there is legitimate criticisms. You could say Trump is focused overseas, not here. You could say he's going to drive up the price of oil. That's fine. We can have that debate. The price of oil is still lower now than it was for 4 years under Joe Biden. Trump's track record in foreign policy has been exquisite. He has learned a lot from Iraq, and everything he has done has been common sense and surgical. So give the guy a chance. If there's a refugee crisis, if oil goes over $100, fine. You guys can trash him. I'll say things too, but now is not the time.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.